This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend, my partner in sports radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, NFL free agency has been insane the last few days. Feels like the NBA now. A lot of player movement, a lot of people in new places, a ton of trades. I can't remember a time in my life where there have been this many NFL trades.
Yeah, and up until like a year or two ago, NFL trades were the only time they happened was the draft. And even then, it was almost all pick compensation, yeah. Very few actual players.
Dude, we're getting player for player deals. We're getting pick for player deals. We're getting some like amazing ones, some crappy ones. So let's dive right in, man. And let's do so with a cup of Red Bud Coffee.
Yes.
Red Bud Coffee Roasters. You should go online from your home, because if you leave the house right now, you're the worst, as evidenced by smug people. It's a good time for smug people, too.
On the plus side, the smug people are all at home, so they won't know that you left, but
that's true.
But they will judge you in their minds from a distance.
The great thing about Redbud, though, you can buy it from your home, and I think that's even the preferred way. So, Piper, tell them how to get Redbud coffee.
Yeah, if you go to redbudcoffee.com, or is it redbudroasters.com? Hold on.
I have no idea.
You know what? This is bad. It's redbudcoffee.com. I was right. Okay, so redbudcoffee.com. They have a whole variety of roasts, and if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, you get a 10% discount off your whole purchase. So I just finished a bag of their Colombian, and I'm working on a Brazilian right now, which is wonderful. And I've tried maybe five or six of their roasts. They have sweet packaging too. Like they come in these
clear
plastic sealed bags, but inside a really sweet cardboard, like just a cardboard box, but you know, all branded with their stuff. And it's good for keeping the coffee fresh, but then it's a really clean look too. And they do a great job. And yeah, I have yet to run across one of their roasts that I dislike. So yes, during this time of quarantine, when we're all borderline miserable, coffee helps. Good coffee helps more, and coffee that you don't have to go out and buy anywhere helps the most. So go to redbudcoffee.com, use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout and get your discount, and you will enjoy it. It's good. It's really good stuff.
Let me ask you a bit of a philosophical question, kind of as a bridge to our first set of topics, which is quarterback movement in the league. So of all the quarterbacks who have been in play for the last week, guys who changed teams, guys who are still free agents, which one do you think is most likely to drink some Red Bud coffee? Like, who could you see on that list with a little cup of Red Bud?
Oh, let's see.
Like Phil Rivers, is he dealing with his?
No, nah, dude, he's a straight up Maxwell House guy. Like he's just,
I love it.
He's just a redneck with 14 kids. Honestly, well, let's see. So quarterbacks on the move. We've got Tom Brady. He's a hard no. He's like a green tea and
yeah, he's green tea. He's a tea drinker for sure.
You know, something.
Dude, what
fermented.
About Cam Newton? Like riding a tricycle with his little Audrey Hepburn scarf.
I feel like Cam Newton's the type who would drink terrible coffee that's expensive just because it's expensive. Like the kind that's like digested by goats and then or whatever.
Digested by goats. It's got little flakes of gold in it. You know,
Teddy Bridgewater strikes me as a possibility. Because he seems to be, he's just a very like level headed person,
seems reasonable.
Seems reasonable, but like he has worked his way into a better position. So like he seems to understand the value of quality, and he now makes a very nice salary. And, so he's a possibility. I could see Kirk Cousins trying it once, but I think he will try whatever is pitched to him next. He's an opportunist.
Whatever's going to make him the most money.
Yeah. So if, you know, he would try it one time and then probably.
Gosh, I hate that guy so much.
well established on this podcast. Him, exactly. Him and the Titans, two things we can't stand. Let's see. Dude, you know
what about,
Ryan Tannehill is a decent option for this too. I feel like in terms of just, he is now settled in. He has a job.
Coffee.
Yeah. Good coffee. But again, he's not, he's just not an obnoxiously pretentious guy. So I could see him like Red Bud being his thing, you know, small town Illinois business, family run. So I put him and Teddy as the two. They are the two that I would like to drink it the most. So I'm going to be optimistic and say it's them.
There you go, man. I like it. I like it. I could see that. So Piper, let's get into these quarterback moves. This has been a fascinating week for NFL quarterbacking. Let's start with a big one, Brady to the Bucks. So for you, like, what's the emotional slash kind of cultural impact on this? And then what's the on-field impact? And then finally, do you like this for the Bucks and for Brady? So just go to town on it, man.
Yeah. So
it's the big one.
Emotionally, I'm very torn because on the team side of things, I hate it. I hate it for the Patriots because Brady Belichick was, you know, the Montana Walsh, the Jordan Phil Jackson, the, you know, Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, except better than all of those in terms of compared to the league, you know, the most dominant team of my adulthood. So they won their first Super Bowl my freshman year in college and have just been the best team since then with a couple blips along the way. And so for that to be done, it makes the NFL less interesting to me.
I
realize that if you're like a Dolphins or a Bills or a Jets fan, it makes it more interesting because you might have a fighting chance now. But for the rest of us, it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, we either loved rooting for them or we loved rooting against them, but we loved them for some reason.
Absolutely. They moved the needle emotionally. Yeah, that is gone. That is gone for sure. And
on the Brady side, it feels like Emmett Smith going to the Cardinals. It's like, oh, okay, well, he's done.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I think so, Pipe. I think, obviously, like, optimism abounds in Tampa, but I see this as an Emmett to the Cardinals kind of arc for Brady. I hate it as a Pats fan. Tristan and I have been grieving the last few nights. In fact, we stayed up late a couple of evenings ago, the day that the news broke. Pluto TV has been running a marathon of like great Tom games, great Pats games, and everybody else went to bed. We stayed up late and grieved together. So yeah, it's a weird one for him. Like, he's 17. Tom has been the only Patriots quarterback he's ever known in his life. You know, Brady started quarterbacking that team 3 years before my son was born, which is insane to think about. So, it's quite a shift. It's going to be weird to watch the first Pats game with Jarrett Stidham or Andy Dalton or whoever ends up playing quarterback for that team. Not being Tom Brady, it's going to be a real moment. And it seems like they're kind of just chunking out their roster and they're embracing a full rebuild, which we'll get to later. Impact on the Bucks. I see Bruce Arians as a real like down the field guy. You know, he likes to go deep. Brady is the ultimate dink and dunk guy. So I'm not sure how it's going to work. Brady will also want to be the assistant GM. So I just think he went to the place where he got the most autonomy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's East Coast, proximity to New York, all the stuff that's been mentioned. But it'll be an interesting marriage with Arians and Brady, because if he didn't like Belichick's strong personality, he also might not like Bruce Arians' strong personality.
Yeah.
You know, Arians doesn't strike me as a backseat guy.
Arians has made it work with a handful of quarterbacks who are fairly volatile over the years. Because he was with Pittsburgh, I believe, with Big Ben. Then he had Carson Palmer, who's not volatile, but like he has a reputation for being a bit sensitive. And then he made it with Jameis without ever like just throwing him in front of a bus.
Yeah.
The first guy to throw 30 interceptions or 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in a season. And he didn't kill him. I don't know how he did that as a coach. So I could see that working. The other thing, the one reason this could work is because when Brady trusts his receivers, he does more aggressive things. So like when Gronk or Randy Moss were on that team, he put up passes down the field that didn't seem smart, but he trusted in those guys who were the best contested catch guys of their position.
Yeah.
And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are not bad for the chuck it up and trust thing. But Arian's system calls for that most of the time, whereas Brady would do that periodically and then do a lot of the Wes Welkery, Julian Edelman throw to the running backs thing. So I'm curious if Arians will adjust his system to make it work for what Brady is good at. The other question is Brady good anymore? Like, I don't, it's hard to tell because they had trash receivers last year in New England.
They did.
So I don't
know.
They
had trash receivers. The O-line was compromised by a couple of injuries. Running game was hurt by the loss of James Devlin. You know, I think going into 2019, the Pats were going to do kind of a throwback ground and pound fullback and tight ends sort of deal. And then when Devlin got hurt, and their center got hurt, Andrews, Shaq Mason was hurt. You know, I think they scrapped that and they just went back to the whole kind of five wides, Brady figured out thing, which they just didn't, like you said, they didn't have the horses to do it. They didn't have talent. So, I mean, Brady with actual like receiving talent and weapons is intriguing to me, but yeah, to answer your question, I don't know, you know, and whenever the cliff comes, right, whenever he falls off the cliff, it's going to be drastic. And nobody really knows when that's going to be. Like there were times last year where I thought the arm strength and the snap and like some of these things you look for in a quarterback was there. Like, so I don't know. I don't know that he's, you know, just weeks away from falling off the cliff just yet. But there's something about this that makes me think it's not going to be as like gilded as everyone thinks. You know, I think it could go south in a big way. I mean, what happens when, you know, the Bucks start the season 2-4, you know, because they're still the Bucks. They still have questions on defense. Their offensive line stinks, right? Their offensive line is terrible. And if Brady didn't like playing behind a patchwork Patriots offensive line last year, he's not going to like playing behind this one.
Well, and so I'm looking at it. They have the 14th pick, which is it's a good spot to get an offensive lineman in this draft, I think.
Yeah, good tackle draft.
It's not a good spot to get a quarterback unless one of the top few guys falls, but that seems really unlikely.
It does.
You know, whether it's not, you know, since he's taken a QB over one, two is not going to fall. What's the guy's name from Oregon? Is it Herbert?
Justin Herbert. Yeah.
He now is being talked about as a top five or seven pick. So it feels like they have to go offensive line to make this work because Brady is an all in move. Like you don't go with Brady as he's not a bridge to something. And then I guess they just worry about quarterback in next year's draft but here's the problem. If it works out with Brady, they have a worse pick next year. You know, they're picking 27 or something.
That's
and,
right.
And so, to be fair, they didn't have any good options right now because it was
they did.
You know, Jameis was nobody should want Jameis at quarterback. Like he's not a good starter and he's not a guy you want as a backup. Like he has a ton of talent and no mind for the position.
Yeah.
And so, I guess it, from that sense, it's shrug and be like, sure, you know, like why not roll with it? See if we can make it work with these receivers and then we'll figure out the quarterback thing in the next year or two. That rarely works out for teams, but you know, it would be fun to see him have a huge year. I just think it's unlikely.
It kind of would. Yeah. I think it's unlikely as well, Piper. So speaking of Jameis, we're kind of doing this like quarterback musical chairs thing right now. And I can see a couple of guys not having a chair at the end. And I think Cam Newton and Jameis might be those guys. One of those two names is surprising in that Cam Newton has had a great career. Jameis has not.
Well, Cam Newton's still under contract, isn't he?
Well, Carolina signed Teddy Bridgewater, and Cam made it pretty clear that he wanted a trade. So, technically he's still under contract. But, you know, I've got to think Carolina brought Teddy in to be the culture guy that Cam Newton cannot be and has never been. I mean, Cam's culture has always been Cam.
Right.
That being said, I don't know who's going to want Cam Newton in their clubhouse commensurate with like what he brings to the table in light of all his injuries lately. I just think he could be a great player who ends up without a job. And that's really interesting to me.
Well, and the other thing is Cam Newton's a little bit like Allen Iverson or Russell Westbrook or somebody in the NBA where you have to build the offense around him. He is profoundly talented in very specific ways. And so you have to have a certain kind of receiver, certain kind of offense. And he's only as good as his ability to run the ball. If you turn him into a moderately mobile downfield thrower, you've just got a...
He's the 22nd best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he's Josh Allen, except Allen can still run.
Exactly.
And he's a better passer than that, but he's not a great passer. And so much of his passing builds off the running. Like, yeah, I think he's in the spot where somebody, I don't know, let's say, so the Bears traded for Foles. We'll get to that one in a minute. The Bears would have been an interesting team for him because Trubisky needs to go. But now they've traded for Foles, and it's like, oh, you're just going for like the pseudo steady hand here. That's an interesting move. I think Cam would
have been, I like it.
You like Foles?
I like it better than Cam.
Well, I mean, I think I do, but Cam, if the Bears wanted to compete for a Super Bowl, Cam's the better option.
Yeah, I agree.
He also might get them the third pick in the draft because he might play seven games and then tank the whole clubhouse. But
Exactly. And I think it would have been more that than the other. I have a scenario that I think is the most Cam Newton scenario ever and the most this team scenario, and it's Washington. Obviously, Ron Rivera is there.
You don't think he's a little sick of working with Cam?
I think he's either sick of working with Cam or can you imagine a quarterback room with Cam Newton and Dwayne Haskins in it? Like, that's a sitcom.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting quarterback room. But I don't know, the familiarity factor with Rivera, the fact that it's a terrible idea makes it for sure the thing that the Redskins will do. I think of all the scenarios out there, like that's the only one that feels remotely realistic for me with Cam Newton anymore. Either that or he goes somewhere as a backup, which is like hard to envision. Like it's hard to imagine him holding the clipboard for somebody.
What about somebody like the Chargers still need a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless I missed something, but I think right now they've got Tyrod Taylor and nobody.
They do. Yeah.
And again, I think that's a terrible idea because I think Tyrod Taylor with that defense would probably lead them to a better chance of winning than Cam would.
Dude, I agree. I'm bullish on Tyrod Taylor. I always have been. He's a guy that's always been a victim of whatever big name has just been drafted, you know.
When he's also a victim of he's not what anybody wants at quarterback, but he is better than most of the options, options.
He's so careful with the football. Like he's not going to lose you games. And like for me, I value that a lot.
He's Alex Smith-esque.
He is. Yeah, he's Teddy Bridgewater-esque. And those are both guys that I like. So Foles to the Bears. Let's talk about that. This is a thing that I like.
Can I give one more outlandish idea for Cam Newton before we move on to Foles?
Please. Oh yeah, this is fun.
So Jared Goff stinks.
Yep.
They paid him a lot of money, but he still stinks.
Yes, he does.
And what about Cam to the Rams? Were going to be like, we've still got some talent. We need to make one more big swing at this thing. So maybe not this year, but like they sign him for, you know, they're like, all right, this is a rehab year for you. Plus, it's a weird year. We don't even know when the season's going to start, whatever. But Cam Newton replacing Jared Goff seems like
kind of love that.
Kind of a shrug, like, I don't know, might work.
I weirdly think McVay could like work with him too. Like, I think McVay has whatever that connectability kind of factor is that you would need with a Cam Newton. I think he could do it. I kind of dig that pipe. They got to hurry up and do it though while Todd Gurley still has knees, you know, because they're starting to sell off pieces too, just because of their cap situation. I think they've lost some key guys, but
you get in bad cap situations when you sign Jared Goff to a $1 billion contract.
Amen. Amen. That is a true statement for sure. So Nick Foles, man, poor Nick Foles, that guy's, he's just kept a bag packed his entire career, but he is on his way to Chicago, and the Bears, I think, gave up a fourth round pick for Nick Foles. I'm seeing a lot of people, a lot of Chicago people trashing this move. I actually like it a lot because I have such a low view of Mitch Trubisky. And I have a relatively high view of Nick Foles. I think he could really flourish here. Are they a Super Bowl team? Are they even a division winning team? I don't know. I don't think so. But he will provide some stability and some output at that position that they have not had in a long, long time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think not giving up a lot for him is and Jacksonville's eating something like $18 million of his salary. It's not a massive financial cost for the Bears this year. Trubisky's still in his rookie deal, and he's terrible. As a Vikings fan, I just kind of slump my shoulders because I'm like, I liked the Bears better when they had incompetent quarterbacks. Like last year when the Vikings played the Bears and Trubisky got knocked out of the game and Chase Daniel came in, I was disappointed.
Oh, absolutely. As a Vikings fan, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah, I don't think Chase Daniel is good, but like he's an NFL quarterback and Trubisky isn't. So and Foles is a competent starter, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the way that they with their offensive scheme, the running game and kind of multiple things they can do on offense, the fact that they have some healthy receivers now, they're a threat. They're a competitive team. The defense is still solid. And I'm very annoyed by this as a Vikings fan. I think it was a smart move. And giving up a fourth round pick, you give up a fourth round pick for like a really good backup.
Exactly. And often your fourth round picks don't even make the roster, right?
It's a safe flyer
to get an adult in the room. I think it's really going to help the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Dude, honestly, I think the Bears sort of stiff-necked, we're staying with Trubisky regardless kind of posture last year really lost them the clubhouse. You know, the defense that was playing hard in week one was no longer playing hard in week 11.
When it was kind of out of necessity because they had given up so many picks for him.
Yeah.
And Chase Daniel wasn't a legitimate option. He is a true backup.
They didn't have good options. Yeah, he is the very definition of a backup, right? So speaking of backups,
I will say though that I think the Vikings are probably going to be worse this year, just given all the moves they've had to make. The Packers will likely be as good or better than they were last year. I mean, I don't see any reason they'd be worse.
Lions are a dumpster fire.
The Lions are
absolute dumpster fire.
The Lions are signing all of the players who Bill Belichick decided weren't good. And so the Bears could potentially be and they have an outside shot at like the wild card, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say they and the Vikings are competing for second in the division this year. They're probably pretty equal teams. I think the Vikings have maybe a little bit better system overall, things like that, a little bit more continuity, but if Foles plays well, they're a competitive team.
I agree, man. I agree. Yeah, I like it. So backups becoming starters. Let's talk about Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina. Do you like this?
Oh, I love it.
I do. I like it from a culture standpoint. I like it all the way around.
Yeah, I like it. I like it from that standpoint. I like it because they have put a bunch of receivers in place on that team or receivers/running backs who are sort of so like Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey DJ Moore, who are all guys who are great with the ball in their hand. And it doesn't they don't require a guy who's going to hit them 40 yards downfield. And Teddy is a consummate distributor and he's going to be very careful and he's young still. I think he's like 25 or 6. It's not a super expensive deal, so they can help rebuild and strengthen other parts of the team.
Yeah.
And they have a new coach who has run some really successful offensive systems in two different places, in college. And so I think it puts Teddy in a position to be successful. And I think it's going to be great for that clubhouse too, because he's just I think everybody in the league likes him and respects him. He's come back from a lot. He played well for, 5-1 or 5-0 as the Saints quarterback last year.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. Plus, I have a deep and abiding affection for Teddy as a guy who I wish the Vikings would have held on to.
I wish he was still your quarterback.
I'm just not going to stop wishing that.
I know it.
So seeing, and the other thing is, after what happened to his leg, seeing him get a starter role is really cool, and I'm happy for him.
Dude, me too. This to me is the ultimate modern NFL kind of quarterbacking move in that it makes economic sense. He's a player that I like. He's a player that does things that I would want a player in that position to do, which is protect the football. And he does it on the cheap. I mean, this is a great move for Matt Rhule to kind of start his franchise with in Carolina. Okay, Piper, Phil Rivers going to Indianapolis, uniting with Frank Reich. Does he have anything left? Does he make Indy better?
I think it depends on how well he meshes with Reich's system, because Reich is he's a really good offensive coach, and it's more of a quick passing game, a little bit more timing kind of thing. Like, you remember when 2 years ago when Andrew Luck came back from shoulder surgery, people were really weirded out because for the first few games everything was dink and dunk until he kind of built up some confidence. I think that's what Rivers needs, because he threw a ton of picks last year because he was just chucking the ball downfield and into contested situations. Yeah. And I don't know if he still has the arm to be a downfield guy. So I think he makes them better because he's experienced, because he's smart, I think Brissett may be a high end backup. I don't know that he has starter capabilities in terms of for a winning team. Kind of Tyrod Taylor-esque. And so I think he makes them better. And it's a 1 year deal. So again, they just sort of move the ball down the field and they strengthen the rest of the team and they say, all right, we're gonna do this for a year, and then we're gonna figure out next year. And the nice thing is the league as a whole has so much more quarterback talent than it did 5 years ago that they'll probably be able to find a competent replacement if he retires. If he plays well, they bring him back. And so I don't love the move. I don't think he's great. I think he's solidly mid-tier at this point, you know, quarterback number 16 or 17 in the league.
Yep.
But that might be good enough with the rest of that team. They're a pretty solid team.
Agreed. Speaking of quarterback number 17 in the league, Kirk Cousins gets more money from the Vikings.
Kirk Cousins extended. Has the Vikings by the proverbial sensitive areas, and so they have to pay him or not have a quarterback.
I know, and I hate it so much.
Hooray for the Vikings! Yeah, I don't. I keep seeing articles by various Minnesota writers. Can the Vikings win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins at quarterback? And the answer to that is yes. In the same way that, like, the Ravens could win a quarterback with Trent Dilfer, or win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer at quarterback. And
the league was different back then.
Right. But a team can win with a mediocre quarterback if everything else is right.
Who's the crappiest quarterback to have won a Super Bowl in the last, let's say, decade?
Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Am I missing somebody?
No. Half of those games are the Pats and Tom Brady. So going to say Eli Manning.
But that feels like a different era as well.
It does. Yeah. That was the ground and pound. Like, I don't know. They had Brandon Jacobs and
Tiki Barber.
Yeah. You're right. That was a different era.
And a ferocious defense. Yeah, I was going to say, they lived and died on their defensive line more than they did anything else. Their offense was pretty mediocre, actually.
It really was. Yeah, they had no kind of talent at receiver.
It's been Russell Wilson. It's been Patrick Mahomes. It's been Tom Brady a couple times. It's been,
the thing that would worry me about Cousins vis-a-vis this conversation is that he's way worse than all of those guys you just mentioned. You know what I mean? Like, markedly worse.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, if we're looking for comps of teams who have done it with crappy quarterbacks, yeah, you got to kind of go into the Wayback Machine, and that's problematic. But
yeah,
you're right. He does have them over a barrel.
It's such an offensive league now that you need to be transcendent at that position, I think, to consistently have a chance. Yeah. And the thing is, he's a system quarterback, so he looks good when the system is clicking.
Yeah.
But when the system's not clicking, he doesn't make he does not pull the offense along.
Whole thing comes apart.
He's a cog in the machine. He does not drive the machine. Absolutely. And you look at his numbers from last year, you would think he was an all-timer. It's 70% completion rate, 30-something touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You know, 4,000 something yards, just an amazing year numerically. But you watch those games and you go, I don't trust him.
Exactly.
You know, with the exception of the playoff game against the Saints, and even there, he disappeared for the second half of that game. Some of that might be the coaching, but that's the first time in a highly anticipated competitive game that he's looked pretty decent and made some big throws. You know, big throw to Thielen, big throw to Rudolph down the stretch, obviously to seal the game in overtime. But yeah, I don't trust him. I'm not excited about it. And it's the kind of thing where they have him for three more years, and then they can't cut him at any point in the deal without taking a ton of dead money. So they either trade him or have to give him another 2 or 3 years and keep pushing this thing down the line. And
there's going to be no trade market for him. None.
Not at the salary. Now, granted, in 3 years, the salary that he's getting might not be so bad. Although his cap number in the third year of this deal, I heard, is $40 million. I mean, that's Patrick Mahomes level.
Exactly. You know, for the 17th best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, it's just
amazing.
Yeah. I'm not excited about it. I just, you know, I feel like the Vikings are going to be a 9-7 team this year because their defense is going to be a little bit worse. Their offense is probably going to be a little bit worse because Stephon Diggs got traded. And
dude, those years toward the end of that deal are not going to be pretty, where you can't pay anybody because you're paying him. And yeah, it's going to get ugly. I mean, the gamble was he'll get us to the Super Bowl last year, or he'll get us to the Super Bowl this year that's coming up. So let's pivot into Stephon Diggs going to Buffalo. The Bills gave up a lot for this player. Are you sad to see Stephon Diggs go? Let's start there.
I mean, emotionally, yes, because he's a fun player to watch. He had probably the most memorable catch in recent Vikings history a couple years ago against the Saints. He's like when he's clicking, his route running is like Marvin Harrison-esque and just sort of putting defenders on skates.
Yeah.
But there comes a point when a guy's getting paid $14, $15 million and he's a pain in the butt that you go, let's, and the Vikings have a bad cap situation. Thank you, Kirk Cousins. But so dumping that salary for a first round pick and then a couple mid rounders is pretty good value for what it is. Especially when you look at what the Texans got for DeAndre Hopkins, which was just garbage. So I'm sad to see him go. I think it's a good, necessary move. The Vikings need to invest more in low-cost players, and they were paying two number one receivers. And on a team that's not going to pass 45 times a game, that's a poor distribution of resources.
That's a luxury you cannot afford.
It's a luxury very few teams can afford. Even if they do pass that much. So
that's right.
I think it helps put them in a position to build other areas of the roster better. And then there's the snide, smug side of me that also is glad to see him go to a team where he's going to hate his quarterback even more than he hated Kirk Cousins.
That's right, dude. It's an interesting thing. Obviously optimism runs high at this time of the year. And, if you don't like guys who struggle to get the ball on you down the field, he's going to be very frustrated with Josh Allen.
Well, the thing is, like, Kirk Cousins is a pretty good downfield thrower. He's pretty accurate. His problem had as much to do with the fact that there were games where the Vikings threw the ball 8 or 12 times because the defense was solid and they could run the ball 45 times and grind out a 20-13 win or something.
Yeah.
Well, the Bills are not going to throw the ball 40 times, and if they do, 12 of them are going to end up in the fourth row.
That's right.
And it's freezing cold there and it's not an indoor stadium. So good luck, Stephon Diggs. I think you just talked your way into a situation you're going to dislike even more.
Yeah. The numbers aren't going to be there for him, I don't think. And as we know, receivers love their numbers. They love their catch numbers and their touchdowns. And if he can put it in the paint, then obviously it's worth it, but a lot of things have to go right up in Buffalo for that to happen. DeAndre Hopkins on the move, goes to the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury. Fun kind of situation for the Cardinals. in that they get this player for a backup running back. Essentially, they ship out David Johnson, and they bring in DeAndre Hopkins, who is unhappy in Houston, unhappy with Bill O'Brien. Dude, okay, so often we take jabs at the Titans a lot on this program for being boring and having a crappy uniform and kind of somewhat being a disaster. But dude, if you were a Houston Texans fan, all the same things are at play, right? You got a crappy uniform. The personnel moves are head scratchers at best, right?
Bill O'Brien is the worst GM in the league. And he's terrible at his job.
Yeah, it's a tough time to be a Houston Texans fan. Yes. Like, really?
I feel so bad for their fans because they lost Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins, both of whom Hopkins is probably top five receiver in the league. Clowney's he's a top half defensive end. He's very good, Pro Bowl level. Zero first round picks out of it.
Yep.
It's astonishing. They traded for Laremy Tunsil and didn't give him an extension, which means they then had to trade DeAndre Hopkins because they have to have money to re-sign Tunsil. And it just, everything he's done as a GM is dumb. They traded a third round pick for Duke Johnson and then traded the best receiver for the guy who's a slightly better version of Duke Johnson. None of this makes sense. Texans fans, I don't know how many of you there are. I don't hear much from you, but let me just give you a podcast like hug and pat on the shoulder because I'm so sorry you have to have a GM who's this bad at his job.
Dude, they traded a third for Duke Johnson and then never gave him the ball in favor of getting like 3.1 yards a carry out of the great Carlos Hyde, who they fed like 35 times a game. It was wild. You know, really, really wild stuff there out of Houston.
I will say, I love this deal for the Cardinals.
Yes, dude. How fun does it make the Cardinals? Like, how good do you think they're going to be realistically? And people are making these wild and crazy predictions now about the Cardinals.
Well, I think their defense is a dumpster fire and a flood. Yeah. Like, they're just terrible. But if they can have find a way to have an adequate offensive line, just professional level, they have a really skilled receiving crew. Hopkins is ridiculous. They still have Larry Fitzgerald, my homeboy. We graduated from high school the same year, fellow Minneapolis kid. Just keeps putting up numbers. Kyler Murray got better and better as the year went on. And Kingsbury seemed to figure out NFL coaching after the first few games and made adjustments to put his team in a better position. So, If they can get a solid offensive line, just a couple professional guys, and then maybe hopefully improve their defense, I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be fun. Yeah. Kyler Murray's going to put up some numbers.
Dude, I think it's time for them. How disastrous do you think the Rams are? I think they're pretty disastrous. So I think this could be, an opportunity year for Arizona to kind of make up a lot of ground on the Rams, if not overtake the Rams.
I think as long as Pete Carroll is coaching in Seattle and Russell Wilson is their quarterback, that division just tilts to the Seahawks. But
well, I agree. Yeah,
I kind of feel a little bit about Arizona the same way I do about the Bears. You know, very different kinds of teams because the Bears are very solid defensively, and if they have an adequate offense, this is kind of the other way around. But yeah, like they could be competing for, I don't know if wild card is right, but like they could really give some teams some trouble this year. They could hang a sneaky 35 on the Rams and you know put them on their heels, that kind of thing.
Totally.
And I think they're going to be fun to watch.
Dude, so I think the Raiders have quietly done really great work in the free agency and trade.
It has
period.
Been quiet.
They signed two really good off-ball linebackers, Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. I think they both make the Raiders' defense better. How do you feel about the Mariota signing? Mariota to the Raiders.
Is Carr still under contract?
Carr is under contract.
So is this a competing for the starting job, or what is this?
I think this is competing for the starting job. I think this is probably winning the starting job, to be honest with you. It's a weird one for me because I feel like Gruden's beef with Derek Carr was always that Derek Carr was too much of a puppy dogs and ice cream nice guy, not a rip your lungs out kind of guy. And Mariota is arguably even nicer than Derek Carr. I mean, just a sweetheart of a kid by all accounts. So if Gruden wanted, like, you know, some glass chewing, old school, swaggering, you know, leader of the room
Brett
type.
Favre is what he wants.
Exactly. He wants Brett Favre. He did not get Brett Favre in Marcus Mariota.
Well, but the other complaint about Carr, well, granted, they don't have any receivers right now, so maybe it's a moot point. But the other complaint about Carr was that he would not take a risk. He would not throw the ball downfield. He was just check down Charlie. Well, Mariota is not great at throwing the ball downfield either. Like, he can make some throws, but so could Carr. Carr's got a better arm than Mariota does. But both of them are so cautious with the ball. Now, maybe this is the direction they want to go because they drafted Josh Jacobs, because they put money into their offensive line, because, you know, their tight end is their best receiver. What's the guy's name? Yep. Is it Jordan somebody? I forget his name. But so, and maybe that's the route they're going. Now, of course, they'll probably go out and draft a wide receiver first round because they really need playmakers. But I don't know. I have sort of low grade Bridgewater-esque feelings about Mariota in that I really like him. He's been through some tough injuries. He played for 17 different offensive coordinators, so he's never been in a position to succeed. And I would love to see him have his potential maximized, that looks like.
He's such a likable guy, man. And again, we always goof on the Titans, but I think you and I have both really liked Mariota as a person over the years. And he's just one of those guys you root for to, like,
And I wanted him to be good. And
yeah, totally.
And I don't know if he is. He does strike me a little bit as somebody who will likely be a long-term high-end backup. I don't know that he has the either the arm or sort of just that, like, that click into psycho gear. Not the glass chewer, but just the I'm an intense enough competitor that I will take the risks, I will make the throws, I will drag my team to a victory. I just don't see it.
I don't think he's going to be capable of doing quite enough to, like, definitively win that job. You know, it's going to be a kind of a pick 'em deal, I think. Okay. Dude, I think the Ravens are going to be really scary next year. They were scary this year.
Yes.
And they added Calais Campbell and Michael Brockers to the D-line. So the rich get richer there as far as front sevens that are scary to pair with Lamar Jackson and all those weapons on offense. Let's talk about guards. Let's talk about guard stuff. The Detroit Lions are fascinating in that they're letting all their good players go to other places. I don't know who's going to be left to play football for the Detroit Lions, to be honest. They're going to be like a semi-pro team next year, and it's fascinating because they let their best lineman go. Graham Glasgow goes to Denver, so the Broncos get a good guard there. Marshall Yanda, who I mentioned on the last program, retired. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But my new guard man crush plays for Arizona, J.R. Sweezy. Have you watched a lot of J.R. Sweezy tape, Piper?
I have
or
not.
Or any?
No.
Yeah, really athletic, really mean, kind of like a young Richie Incognito without the off-the-field issues. I'm bullish on J.R. Sweezy.
Well, when Richie Incognito is on the field, he's really good. Him as a human that presents all the problems. So if this is Richie Incognito, the player, but not the human, that's a very positive description.
Dude, Richie Incognito drinking Red Bud coffee, you think? Could you see it?
I think he would, like, chew the beans and then spit them on an old lady or something.
Well, that's another way. That's actually one of the suggested pairings on the back of the packaging there at Red Bud. So you can either brew it in the standard way or chew the beans and spit them on an old lady. So however you want to enjoy Red Bud coffee, it's up to you. A lot of mediocre edge guys change teams, Piper. Do any of these move the needle for you? I'm going to read some.
Well, quick offensive line one. How do you feel about the Browns signing Conklin? It's not a guard.
I think it's good.
It's not a guard.
Yeah, good for the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good for the Browns. I mean, he was always kind of going to be the odd man out in the Tennessee kind of financial picture this offseason, in that they gave some money to Tannehill. They franchised Derrick Henry. Conklin was going to be the odd man out. So
I think it's going to hurt the Titans more than people realize, because Conklin he's not an awesome tackle, but he was one of the top three or five graded run blockers, which is very what they build blocker. Their entire offense around. So
yeah, that's right. Yep, very solid run blocker. Dude, speaking of the Lions doing astonishingly stupid things, they backed up the Brinks truck for the Eagles backup tackle, Vitae.
Yes.
Huge guy, kind of a turnstile, not a good football player. I mean, those statements are all relative. He's a very good football player compared to me or you. But
not relative the Lions, to his salary.
Right. The Lions have not done anything this offseason that's made any sense. And that is one of those moves.
By this offseason, do you mean since Matt Patricia became their coach?
Yeah, dude. And it's so weird, too, because so I listen to all these football podcasts, and Patricia's been on a couple of them as a guest. Like, he was on Chris Long's podcast, which is really kind of a fun listen. And he's been on, what was the other one he was on recently? It might have been some Mel Kiper thing, but he's a really fun interview. Like, Patricia just seems like a genuinely fun, jovial dude to spend time with. And I really want it to work out for him, except that I don't have any confidence that it will. And I don't like any of the moves they're making. And it makes me confused, because Matthew Stafford is still really good.
Uh-huh.
He's really, really good.
I would trade like Kirk Cousins and a first round pick for Matthew Stafford right now.
Dude, I think Matthew Stafford with your roster in Minnesota, I think the Vikings are a Super Bowl team at that point. Like, I feel really, really good about that. Dude, he would be a great clubhouse guy. Everybody loves Matthew Stafford. Man, that would be cool.
Yeah, Patricia missed one very important thing in the taking over of a team, and that is you only get to create a team in your image either with smart moves over time or if you're starting from zero. But if you're coming into a team that's loaded with professionals, you have to figure out how to play to their strengths to some degree. And he took the ball out of Stafford's hands. Well, he's your best player, so that's dumb. Yeah. And then he just started signing a bunch of guys who were like low grade versions of the things that Bill Belichick figured out how to use.
Yeah.
The other thing is, one of the two is a genius, and it's not Matt Patricia. So yeah, Lions fans also get a podcast hug from me for having just the dumbest decision maker this side of Bill O'Brien.
Dude, they've been through so much, Lions fans. I do. I feel terribly for Lions fans, of which I am kind of one. Okay. Mediocre edge guys changing teams. We'll end with this. We'll see if any of these move the needle for you. Robert Quinn to the Bears.
It moves the needle because it bothers me when the Bears get another guy who they can figure out how to utilize. Like, I think Quinn in the right situation will still be a very effective player. He's not the guy who led the league in sacks a few years ago, but the Bears, I think he's replacing who? Leonard Floyd. I'm not thrilled with the fact that they have a guy who can actually rush the passer instead of Leonard Floyd. And they didn't pay a ton for him. So, great move for the Bears. Not thrilled about it as a Vikings fan.
Yeah. Dante Fowler to the Falcons.
He stinks.
What are the Falcons doing? Like just as an entity, everybody thinks of them still as good, but they haven't been good in a while.
And they were horrific last year. Like, they got, they got the doors blown off the first half of the season. And then they kind of turned it around a little bit, but they have not been remotely competitive since getting beat in the Super Bowl.
They're kind of Bengals South in that they've got an unremarkable quarterback who's been there forever and a great wide receiver and kind of nothing else that makes you excited. Not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Dante Fowler is another one of those guys who, if he was on the right team with the right scheme, he could be effective. But if you're expecting him to go like solidify your defense, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah, for sure. Leonard Floyd to the Rams. Nah.
I mean, didn't they have Dante Fowler? And then
they had Dante Fowler. Yeah.
So they replaced Dante Fowler with Dante Fowler. So good luck.
The Dolphins overpay for Shaq Lawson. The Dolphins have done some...
I'm intrigued by this one because I think Brian Flores might be a really good coach.
I agree.
And yeah. they signed Byron Jones, I believe. And yep. So they have a really good defensive backfield. Man, it would have been nice if they kept Minkah Fitzpatrick because then they would have been amazing in the defensive backfield.
Scary back there.
So yeah, I think Lawson is an okay player who put up kind of accidentally big numbers.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of player, like if you put him on a Belichick defense, he's a super useful player. Flores might be that good of a coach. Not
also, Flores got almost all of Belichick's linebacking unit from last year. So he got Kyle Van Noy and a Landon Roberts. So that's interesting. Who else did they get? Yeah, I don't know. I like Flores though. That team could sneakily maybe win the division next year. Cause I think New England is tanking. Are the Pats tanking?
I don't think they're tanking. I mean, cause they re-signed McCourty and they franchised
Joe Thuney,
another very good guard. And I think that they will give it a competitive go this year. And then next year is the year where Belichick might retire and then so for example, if they're 2-4 after 6 games, they might start making some trades and things like that. But
yeah,
I think they're going to try to go, 9-7, 10-6 and win that division this year.
Yeah. And 9-7 or 10-6 still could do it.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback, Piper? Who plays in New England? Are they going with Jarrett Stidham?
I mean, rumor has it they love Stidham, but like rumors out of New England are just lies. So who knows?
Totally.
Dalton's in play. He's still unsigned. Yeah. How fun would Cam Newton to the Patriots be?
Oh, dude, Newton and Belichick though that marriage wouldn't last a week.
Or it would be perfect.
Yeah,
it might be the one person who Cam Newton respects besides Cam Newton. Who knows?
That would be fascinating. But yeah, you make a really compelling point.
Can you imagine? I mean, imagine Bill Belichick getting a fullback at quarterback, which is essentially what Cam Newton is.
And he's always kind of been fascinated by that, right? Like he took a flyer on the whole Tim Tebow thing for a minute, and Cam Newton is obviously a way better version of Tim Tebow. I don't know, man. I kind of like it. But I don't know if Bill, I don't know. Could he ever get there in his own like heart with Cam Newton to be like, I'm going to try this?
Think about it. They tried Antonio Brown. They brought in Josh Gordon. They brought in Randy Moss. I mean, and Moss worked out great. Like Cam Newton could be the quarterback version of Randy Moss for them.
He could.
He could also be the quarterback version of Antonio Brown for them. So, of all of the things we've discussed, the Rams is the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
The Patriots is the one I would love to see the most also because I think it would make Patriots fans so angry that it would make me giggle. So,
dude, it would keep the Patriots interesting for another couple of years, though. You know what I mean? They would continue to be a factor, which is... I mean, if they start Jarrett Stidham, they'll go 9-7. They'll lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Or they might go 4-12. They don't have any offensive talent outside. Well, period. They just don't have any offensive talent. So that could be rough.
They've got a bunch of guys who haven't played. I mean, they've got that N'Keal Harry who they drafted last year who really didn't play much but kind of came on a little bit toward the end. They drafted the running back from Alabama last year who literally never saw the field. James Devlin will be back, which is big. Andrews, their center, will be back, which is also big. I don't know. They could be sneakily decent, but like them being sneaky decent next year all depended on Tom Brady coming back to me. And, with that influx.
Man, the more I think about this, the more I want Cam to go to the Patriots.
It's fascinating, dude. It's really, really fascinating. It would be the ultimate boom or bust kind of proposition. It would either be amazing or it would be the biggest disaster in the history of like modern quarterbacking. And we'd know it by week 3. You know what I mean? The wheels would come off real fast.
Oh, we'd know it in training camp.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Pipe, interesting stuff, man. We have done what we always do on this program in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some sports things. You and I are going to be back in the studio tomorrow, actually, to do some creative sports stuff in lieu of actual sports happening. We're gonna go deep dive into the past and watch some tape together and do some commentary. I'm looking forward to that. Who do we sign off with today, man? What's the name for today?
I think you should pick a guard crush of your choice.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right. Piper, we've done what we always do, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, J.R. Sweezy.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in an everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.